On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather on their home beyond the sky and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Hope you will be. If you don't, come see us anytime.
Some of us are looking forward to it too. Leave all this behind. Well, it's great to see each of you here today. Thank you for coming to the services, and we welcome those who are live streaming. I don't see a light back there, brother, like we usually do on the other camera, so I trust you've got it on, right? Okay. Nadia, introduce your brother and niece for us. Oh, wonderful. So this is your son. I thought it was your brother. I'm sorry. Eugene, good to meet you. And Sophia, great to have you both here today. Good to see you. And right behind you, brother, tell the folks your name and your son's name. Great. Good to have you with us. He called and left us a number. He wanted to get some information about the church, and the number wouldn't work, so we didn't get back with him. I'm so glad you came, found out how to get here and that sort of thing. Mark, you got your parents here today, and they look like they're doing great. Praise the Lord. And I know they've been praying for me and any of the needs of this church, and we've been praying for them, especially Mark's mom, who went through some health issues, and it looks like you're doing great. I'm very happy. And you getting to play any golf?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I know that's one of your favorite things. Dr. Nathan and family are back, and something new has happened. They're expecting, praise the Lord. And it's good to see you and glad to have you back with us. Hope the kids are all well and everything's going good for you. Is the hospital doing okay?
Yeah, doing much better.
Okay, good. Great. We want to thank all of you for coming today. These folks on the front row, y'all must remember Grace and Tim and the kids. So glad to have them back with us. They've been watching live streaming and quarantining at home, you know, just... out of the concern for this. When you got a family, you know, with kids schooling, y'all homeschool anyway, don't you? Yeah, so that helps out. And I understand that one of the schools, a pastor friend of mine, his son's in the second grade in a Christian school, that somebody in that class tested positive, so now his family and him are quarantining, you know. And he's got a pastor's meeting scheduled for this coming Tuesday. And now he won't even be able to be at the pastor's meeting because he's home quarantining, but the church is still going to go ahead and have it anyway. Most of you know already, but I'll give you a real quick recap. I went Wednesday. They went through my arm. I had a heart catheterization. And when they got in there, they found two arteries that were too blocked with calcium to do anything. So they're rescheduling me to go to Richland Memorial Hospital in Columbia. And the doctor who did the catheterization also works there. And they do simple way to explain it, it's a Roto-Rooter that goes through your artery to clean out whatever's blocking it. And they, if they can do that successfully, then I won't have to have bypass surgery. And that's what I'm hoping for. They may have to put a couple of stents in, you know, once they do that. And just hoping it'll work properly. So if you pray for me, remember that, please, that the procedure will go like it's supposed to and they can do what they need to do without any side effects or damage. If they were to have a problem and they had to do emergency surgery, that hospital does the procedure for the VA. When they have emergency surgeries, they take them there anyway for emergencies. So I opted to go with that hospital instead of going all the way down to Charleston. And before going into the hospital, you have to take a COVID test 2 days before you go in. So I can go to Columbia a lot easier and I can drive all the way to Charleston and back, you know. So that's where we are at this time. And I'm good. I don't have hardly any side effects. I'm a little more short of breath than I was. And I'm not doing anything strenuous. Most people say pastors don't work anyway, you know, so one day a week. So I'm probably fitting the bill right now. You got a visitor. Sienna. And she goes to school together with Carly. Glad to have you visit today. Carly's really good about inviting folks, and we appreciate that very much. Pray for one another. Continue to pray for Ashley Hoyle. She is out of the hospital at home, I believe. And Debbie Holland and Chris's dad, Charles, both have cancer and are taking chemo and such. Tommy Nance got started on chemo again. His cancer came back after 20 years. Rob Nance, his brother, who is a member of the church here, has stayed home to live stream and such, and he's expecting, I believe, maybe this week to go have a knee joint replacement operation. Florence and Faye are both still recuperating at home and don't think it'll be too long until they're able to come back. Lynn Ross, the vertigo is still terrible for her. Pray for her that somehow they could do something to give her some relief of that. She tries to get up and she'll fall because it makes her off balance and everything. Diane Hudler has that stage 4 liver disease. We're going to continue to pray for her. The Van Ben Scoten's granddaughter, the Kajawa girl, her first name is Meryl. I know that, but I just went blank. Meryl was in a car accident yesterday, and is she in the hospital?
They let her go.
Okay.
She's just badly bruised.
Okay.
They checked to make sure it wasn't internal. So.
Great. She got T-boned, I think, and seat belts and all that. You know, it's painful to go through those experiences. So pray for her. She must be, what, 18 years old now? Or
she's 19.
19. Wow. They grew up so quick. Well, please remember them in your prayers, and thank you for praying for me. And we're just delighted that all of you are here today. And if you get a chance to look at the live streaming of this service, I guess this is the first service that we have the new camera. And they'll hide all those wires at some point before long, but it's mounted on the wall at the back. It's a better camera. It should be a clearer picture. Jared said if we baptize that they'll be able to clearly show whoever's getting baptized. They got a great shot of the back here. And so we're delighted that we could get that finally in. As any of you know, if you've ordered anything, there's a holdup on everything being produced in the country to get it to you and get it delivered and all that sort of thing. We had to back out of a deal on one camera because they never could get it to us, so then we were able to get this one pretty quickly. So thank the church for supplying this, and we hope all those that are watching at home can tell us a little better picture and such as that. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless the prayer request. I'm sure there are still many more that we did not mention, but we send them out weekly on your prayer list, so do remember these folks to the Lord. ask God's intervention and help, and give the Lord thanks for what he's doing for us. Paul and Loretta are here. We don't want to forget them. We want to continue to pray for both of them with their health needs. And Paul's foot still has the pain in it from the diabetic problem and the circulation problem. And so we're praying for him about that also. Dick Clark, would you lead us in prayer? Ask the Lord to bless the service and the request for us, please.
Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness and your blessings to us, Lord. We thank you for all the love that you have shown to us by sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that he was willing to die on the cross for us and to shed his precious blood. Lord, we pray this morning for the requests that have mentioned. We particularly remember this morning our pastor. Ask, Lord, that you would be with him. We pray that you would give him the strength that he needs. And we ask, Lord, that this procedure would be scheduled quickly so that this problem with the arteries could be taken care of soon, and that, Lord, he would be back with a strong heart. Lord, we pray for our president this morning. We thank you, Lord, for him. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with him and his wife as they suffer from the COVID virus. We ask, Lord, that you would lift them up and strengthen them, Lord, and bring him back to his work capacity. Lord, we pray for the election coming up, that you might guide and direct in that, that your will might be done.
Please,
God. Now, Lord, we pray for the service this morning. Ask, Lord, that you would bless these requests that have been mentioned today for those that are sick and those that are traveling, those that are, Lord, needing a touch from you. Now, Lord, bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right, well, grab your songbooks one more time and turn to page 125, and we'll sing the first, the second, and the last verse of Jesus Paid It All.
Coming to sing, and thanks to the orchestra, and thanks ladies singing song for us today, and we're glad everybody is here, and we hope everybody's well and your family's well. If you have any other prayer requests, be sure to let us know.
I'll be so- standing at the portals when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long dreary day. I'll meet you in the morning, meet you in the morning. How do you do? How do you do? I'll sit down by the
job. Appreciate that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. Paul's prayers are recorded for us in each one of the church letters, what we call books of the Bible. 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to a young pastor who he's influenced greatly, discipling him for the Lord. He had from a child been taught the scriptures and was a believer because no doubt of his mother and his grandmother, who Paul commended for their faith. And then Timothy came along as a young trainee, as a pastor of the church at Ephesus, travel with Paul on some of his missionary journeys. And we have these two letters, 1 and 2 Timothy. I want to read to you a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 to start. Paul's prayers for this young pastor. He said, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." So Paul consistently prayed for Timothy and Titus and Silas and Barnabas and all of these that were faithful in the ministry and were establishing churches and were carrying the gospel message into the foreign countries. We pray for others, our missionaries, as they go forth into foreign countries. Nadia's son is from the Ukraine. And his daughter is from the Ukraine. And you know that Joy and I, the church sent us there a number of years ago with the Van Sant's missionaries that had four churches going. Two of them were deaf churches and two for the hearing. And they did a very good work for the Lord in the city of Simferopol. And Joy and I stayed there for a week, and I preached about three times there at the church. And We enjoyed the trip. We did some sightseeing. We went to the Black Sea. I bought all the missionaries a hamburger at McDonald's. And we enjoyed the country and the people. And the differences from here and there, one of the big issues is the economy, that many of their people are not very wealthy compared to American standards. Some have good jobs and make a decent wage, but many of the elderly live on a very small amount of money. And so we often realize when we take a trip like that how blessed we are to live in the United States of America. The freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy here and the economy that we enjoy here is a blessing to us, and we're thankful. If you go back to 1 Timothy in your Bibles, there are a couple of passages I want to read to you this morning. I'm not sure how far I'll get along with this message, but I'll go till we run out of time and then I'll stop. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, we have what are called doxologies, the ending of a prayer. That the word doxology means glory to God. And as Paul's ending his prayer, he's giving God glory. In 1 Timothy 1:17, he says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And then if you look over at chapter 6 of 1 Timothy and verse 15, we have a second doxology here. And from these two, I want to bring the message today. Chapter 6 and verse 15. "Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." Now both of these deal with giving glory to God, who's worthy of all of our praise and all of our honor and glory and power. The lady sang about arriving in heaven and meeting up with loved ones that have already gone before and giving a greeting to one another in heaven after living the life here in this life. I don't know how many times you've thought about that, thought about heaven. Some of you got loved ones there that you're longing to see. Some of you have a child that has deceased, and you want to see them again. Some of you have moms and dads that you know by their testimony that they're with the Lord. There are others that we can only have a hope that we hold out that maybe, you know, they had a change in their life, and when their sickness came and they prayed and asked the Lord to save them. And we know how merciful and forgiving that God is to save those that turn to Him. And so we have hope sometimes of people that we did not have a testimony for a long period of time in this life. And we think about going to heaven and seeing our loved ones and seeing the Lord and the magnificence of what is revealed to us from the Scriptures of what heaven is like. The glory of God's throne, the brilliance of the colors and the light and all that is revealed about it. The angelic beings worshiping God and giving Him praise and adoration. And we're going to be in heaven and have a part in that with giving praise and adoration to God. And it won't be like now where we bow our heads and close our eyes and think about our Heavenly Father. We'll be there and be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed His disciples His nail-scarred hands. And He offered Thomas to put his finger in his side where they put the spear when He was on the cross. But it didn't take that for Thomas, because when he saw the Lord, he knew Him. He said, "My Lord and my God." And he worshiped Him. And we worship Him from earth today, and we're longing for the day that we go home to be with Him. We have many promises. Jesus promised to prepare a place for those who believe in Him. There's a new body that is being prepared for us. We're going to have a body that will be like Christ's body, and we'll live forever and forever. And we're going to see sights in heaven that we have just a little bit of description in the book of Revelation of some of those things and events that will take place. But when we pray, we don't always focus on the greatness of God and the glories of heaven. We focus more often on our need, our problem, our worry, and our concern. And sometimes when we pray, you know, it isn't like you can call God on the telephone or look on the computer and send him a message and get a reply. You know, we wait by faith that God hears our prayers and will respond to our prayers. And most of us have been saved long enough that that has happened in our lives, so we know the sincerity of our faith that God has responded to our prayers, and we are thankful for that. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 22:3 about praying to God day and night and waiting on God. It gives the appearance in that passage that God is not hearing the person who is praying. But if you go back and read that psalm, you'll find that that is a pre-recorded prayer of Jesus dying on the cross. And it is where Jesus prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that is that revelation of the fact that God's not giving that instantaneous answer to us. We question in our minds sometimes, is God hearing our prayer? Is God allowing this to take place? We should know that God, all-knowing, knows what's taking place. And the scriptures teach us he knows our needs before we even ask and bring them to him. But there have been prophets of God in the scriptures that question. Habakkuk saw the turning away from God in his day, and he prayed to God and asked God, why do you let me see this? How long will this go on? How long do I have to cry unto you? And it appeared to Habakkuk that God was unconcerned about what was happening. And God said to Habakkuk, if I were to reveal everything that I'm doing, you wouldn't be able to comprehend it. And God was working events in world population and world leaders, that Israel was going to go into captivity for 70 years. And they would go back and rebuild what is torn down from the Babylonian captivity. And Habakkuk couldn't understand all of that before it took place. And he was questioning whether the Lord was concerned about his prayer and whether God was concerned about how he was going to do those things. Don't ever forget, how God brings things to pass is within his will, not our will. And often we don't comprehend and understand. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And he is working things to bring his plan to a completion. And we are living in days where we see things happening in the world, such great change. And this virus has brought such influence and the political upheaval that's taking place that we pray and ask for God's intervention in our election, in our nation, with our leaders, and in our lives as we face the difficulties of possibly losing our jobs during this economy, of facing the hardships if our family members come down with COVID or other problems that are related in any way with their health. And so we pray and ask for God's help and intervention. The psalmist said in verse 3 of Psalm 22, but thou art holy, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God inhabits or dwells in the praises of his people. Nehemiah said this also, that God inhabits praise. God hears our prayer. If you're saved, God hears your prayers. But he knows what you have need of better than you know yourself. And he doesn't always give you what you want because he gives you what is best. And we don't always want what is best. We want what we want, and we want it right now. And God doesn't work on that kind of schedule. He demands patience and endurance on our part in our walk with God, believing and expecting that God has our best in mind when we pray. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16, he says, God who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. God by His Spirit dwells in us as believers. God who dwells in the light that no man can approach dwells in us. So if we want God to hear our prayers and we want to be effective in praying, Psalm 50:23 says, Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And the word salvation has a multiple meaning. We know a person has salvation when they pray and ask the Lord Jesus to save them, and God in His grace and mercy extends His salvation, and they are changed. They're saved. They're a different being now. They're a new creature in Christ Jesus by faith in the Lord. But salvation also has built within it the definition of deliverance. The salvation, when it's completed, will be when the Lord delivers us from this present evil world and transports us into heaven with Him. And that is a deliverance from all the sinfulness and wickedness and evil among which we live today. And thank God for that deliverance that is to come. Now, when we pray, we shouldn't whine. We shouldn't complain to God. If you go back and look at Israel in the wilderness, God taught them some very severe lessons about complaining unto Him. We should not complain, we should just ask. And when we ask, we should be thankful to God that we can ask and that He will hear us and that He will meet the need that we're bringing unto Him. That means it takes faith to seek God's help, to persevere living for the Lord and serving God in the midst of trials and tests and persecutions. And all of these prayers that we're studying in the New Testament that Paul prayed for these specific people and these specific churches all deal with some aspect of trials and troubles and persecutions. And so when we pray, we need to remember to give praise to the God who calms the storms and has the power to calm the waves and the sea. That same God has the power to intervene in your circumstance and in your need and to bring about an answer that will bless you and be what is best for you. And so as we pray, we should give praise and adoration to God and worship Him. We exalt Him, His attributes, all about the Lord. We rehearse in our mind our God's all-knowing, our God's all-powerful, our God's ever-present with us. And we can pray and we can get hold of the throne of God and find help in our hour of need. And so we should think about His attributes and offer Him praise and adoration for who He is and what He does and His knowledge of our need and His power to bring to pass His perfect will. We should adore our Heavenly Father who's worshiped by angels, who He has redeemed us already. He's already translated us from the kingdom of darkness of this world into the kingdom of light. We belong to Him and we are citizens of heaven today and we can rejoice in that. So when we pray, let us put some of that rejoicing and thankfulness in our prayer that will draw the attention of our Father who inhabits praise. We should think about how we can glorify God in the troubles that we're going through. Lord, give me wisdom to make the right choices and decisions. Give me guidance by Your Spirit that I bring honor and glory to Your name in going through the trial or the test that I'm going through. This is an essential part of our duty as Christians and as a part of the priesthood
of believers that we all belong. Here, if you will, with me, you might want to turn there to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, and beginning with verse 5. Nehemiah and the Levites and the priests are praising God for what God is doing in rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem and the protection for them. They have already rebuilt the temple and reinstituted the temple worship. And verse 5 of chapter 9 of Nehemiah, you see this list of all these that are together in their prayers along with Nehemiah. And they said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur the Chaldees and gave him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart faithful before thee and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites." And he lists all these Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Girgashites, to give that land and to his seed and have performed thy words, for thou art righteous. So they are rehearsing what God has brought about the nation of Israel through Abraham, and now how Abraham's seed has inherited the land of Canaan that God gave unto him, and how that God has blessed them in restoring them to the land where they were taken from it in captivity, and now they are being released. How God is the creator, and God is the maker, and God is the one in charge, and God is on the throne, and that God is worthy of our praise and our adoration. Secondly, today, Paul often ended his prayers, as he did in 1 Timothy, with the explanation of God's help for the request that is being made unto him. He says, Creator who is blessed forever, amen. God reveals to Paul to write for us the book of Romans. And in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, he reveals how the problem with the nation of Israel was that they knew God, but they did not glorify Him as God. They turned away from Him. And we're living in a day and time that I have not seen the degree in this nation that I'm seeing today of the dividing line of those who believe in the Lord and salvation and the Bible and those who are rejecting that because there's something about the Word of God that is offensive to them in the lifestyles that they are choosing to live. We find there the problem in our nation today in rejecting the Word of God. In Romans 9:5, Paul talks about Christ came in the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. He speaks of the praise to God and the adoration to God as another of his prayers. In chapter 11 and verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Christ came in the flesh, and he is over all and blessed forever. And to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. In Galatians, he says, "To whom be glory forever and ever." Again, in Ephesians 3:20 and Philippians 4:20, he makes these same kind of adoration statements to God who has created all things and is worthy of all praise and adoration from us. But it isn't just Paul. Peter does the same thing in 1 Peter 1:3 and in chapter 4 and verse number 11. When we do our duty to service to God, it is God who enables us to perform the duties He asks of us to do. God supplies the need that we have for the spiritual strength and the spiritual knowledge and the spiritual understanding through His Word and by His Spirit to accomplish what He asks of us to do. In the little book of Jude, verse 11, just before the book of Revelation, got a gentleman named Jude here today. We're talking about you today. Verse 11 says, "Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." This is referring to the nation of Israel in those days where they turned away from God. And we must not turn away from God. We must give God praise and adoration and glory. He says, "Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and working with people to get them saved. Of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Do you ever pray like that when you pray? I'm afraid I really have failed in that respect. I give God praise and thanks for who He is and what He does and His great knowledge and strength and for all that He has provided for us. And I bring my requests to Him. And then I finish with thanksgiving. But you know, most of us have a need. And when we think about praying for it is after it's over. Or after we have a second need that's very similar. And then we think, "Oh yeah, I forgot to praise you and thank you for supplying my need the last time," you know. And so when we pray, we need to think about giving God glory and think about giving God praise and think about adoring Him for who He is and what He has done to supply our needs. And when we pray, we're not just giving God a laundry list. "Lord, you need to handle all these problems that I'm dealing with here today." Some of you ladies who don't do physical things, you're busy all day with children and homeschooling and changing diapers and all the things that you do in the home and keeping the home clean and cooking the meals and all that sort of thing. You don't do the physical things necessary. I went off and taught at the college and at Ambassador and spoke in the chapel service, and everybody there called me Dr. Parrish. They introduced me as Dr. Parrish, you know. "We're so glad to have Dr. Parrish here with us today. We want Dr. Parrish to lead in prayer," you know. And the kids come up, "Dr. Parrish, will you sign my Bible," you know, and all that sort of thing. And I go out here in town, and the mayor calls me Reverend. "Reverend Parrish, it's so nice to see you today, you know, and hope your church is doing well." The banker calls me that, you know, and that sort of thing. And then I get home, and my wife says, "Jim, you need to take the trash out. It stinks, you know." And immediately reality sets in, and I recognize that I'm not in an exalted position whatsoever when I come home, you know. And we get humbled real easily when we think about the glory of God and who God is and what He's done, because we all fall short of the glory of God, and we need His help in order to do what He gives us to do. In Revelation 1 and verse 5 and 6, the Scripture says, "From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth," and prince there means ruler, "unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He is, John is addressing Christ in official titles and descriptions of who he is as he begins to write what he is giving unto him. Can you see these words in your trial and your trouble? Can you see that the God you serve is all-powerful? Can you see that he's the King of kings and Lord of lords? Can you see he's the God who sets up kings and takes down kingdoms and who reveals to us what he is going to do in the future through the prophetic scriptures that we read? So let's elevate our God. Reveal our soul to him, how we really feel, how we really think. When we pray, no pretense should be before us. We should not exalt ourselves in any way before God. We should humble ourselves before him. And after we have praised him for a while, then let us ask him to intervene in our pitiful needs. If we focus on him that has all power, our problem doesn't seem that difficult for him to handle and to deal with. The same God who created the world is the God you pray to. These texts of these prayers and adorations given in the scripture are not written with cold hearts or with focus that's scattered on everything that's going on in our life and our day. It is adoration to God that is focused on him and his worth and his worthiness. And they are not from a cold heart in prayer. They're not a ritual that is quoting a prayer that we quote every time we have our meal. We teach our little children to pray, and quite often they fold their hands when they pray, and they ask God to bless the meal. And it's a very simple prayer, and it's coming from a child. But it pleases us because we're the parents, and we're glad they're learning. But there'll come a point in time when that little ritual prayer should be expanded to include an understanding of God and a thanks to God and appreciation for what God is going to do for us in response to our faith to believe him, because we're basing it on his word to do what God is pleased in us doing. Psalmist said in 29:2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." We praise God for who he is. Psalm 103:1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." I want you to look at another passage, and I'll try to make this the last one we turn to. 1 Chronicles. Kings and Chronicles in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I think that's the last chapter of Chronicles. Chapter 29 and verse 9. I'll read through verse 13 in 1 Chronicles. This is David praying. And David the king is praying because his son Solomon is going to be the king after him. And God has made it clear to David, David wanted to build a house for God. David wanted to build the temple. But God will not allow him to build the temple. His son Solomon is going to build the temple. But David made many preparations for Solomon to have all that he needed. So when it came time to actually put all these things together, that it would be ready and would be much easier to get done. In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 9, "Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." And David humbled himself, recognizing, who am I before God to do these things? And he rejoiced, and the people willingly gave of what was needed for the building of the temple, one of the most magnificent buildings built among men, certainly of all the generations up to then, and has continued. Even part of the wall is still there today, that the Jewish people go to pray, and they put their prayers in the cracks of the wall, and they recite their prayers from the Scripture unto God in that place. So let our worship be both public and congregational. Let it be private in our daily walk with God, but let it be public in this place where we give praise and adoration and sing songs to praise our God. Hebrews 13:5, by Him, speaking of Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. If our hearts were more engaged with our focus on God, who is worthy of all praise and adoration and who is over all, we would be less worried about the little problems that we're going through. God, who can control nations and kings and outcomes of wars and all these things, we don't have to fret and worry if we've got God on our side when we're facing the difficulties that we're facing. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, the people who are not saved who live in our nation or who live in other nations, they look to other gods, they look to idols, they look to men who are dead and gone. They look to various kinds of religious ritualism and sacrifices to pay for their sins and to help them in their time of trouble. They have no audience with our God unless they come through Jesus Christ as their Savior. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and our prayers are offered through Him to our Father. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. All authority rides upon the person of Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. In both heaven and earth, we'll all acknowledge and recognize this one day. But friend, if you're watching on live streaming or you're sitting here in the congregation, if you have not yet received Christ as your Savior, understand He is the only way for you to access the true God and to have His help in your time of need. He that hath immortality, that means something. It means God, our Savior, is deathless. Death has no hold on Him. He holds the keys of death. And you, my friend, do not have to fear death if you know Christ as your Savior. He is impeccable, meaning He is unchanging. And His unchanging nature is not subject to sin. He is incorruptible, immortal. He is life eternal. And He's revealed His power to us in His creation that we should give Him worship and praise and thanks. And then He's made a way for us, after we do that, to bring our needs to Him and lay them at His feet. Father, I got a few needs today I'm praying about, and I ask for Your help and intervention. And I'm not going to fear and fret because I know You have the power and I know You're in charge. So I lay them at Your feet, Father, with thanksgiving through Christ my Lord. Let us focus on how great God is, and our problems won't seem so big. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here today. We thank You for all those who've watched by live streaming the service this morning. And we pray they'll tune in again tonight at 6 o'clock and watch the evening service as I continue to speak on the subject of the second coming of Christ. So, Lord, bless us today because we praise You and thank You and give You glory. We think about the elders in heaven worshiping the Lamb on the throne and offering Him praise and adoration and thanks. All power and glory belongs unto Him. And Lord, we join them in that worship of You today. Bless us with our little needs, we ask. The health needs that cause us to have fears and maybe even doubts. The political needs today in our country. We believe that You would have a president to be elected of this nation who will honor You and abide by Your word. So help us in that, we pray. And we give You thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.